It's actually closing in on about 16 hours, 14 hours from free agency in the National Hockey League. Free Agent Frenzy tomorrow will be on the air at 9 o'clock in the morning. My next guest, I am sure, will be up earlier than that East Coast time to get ready as he joins us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Chris Johnston joins us. And you may as well talk to me about it. I know you were all over the sister station today in Toronto on 590. Everybody's talking about it. What a crazy 23 minutes yesterday afternoon. Anything equivalent to that? Anything like that? Did you think you were being trolled?
Well, a little bit, to be honest. I mean, I don't recall anything on that level. I mean, certainly we've had some bursts of news, but having the types of players dealt and you know, really some surprising trades, if you unpack them, and then you go on top of that, you basically have Steven Stamkos after a year of focus on his situation, you know, going back to Tampa. I mean, that was something. I think it'll be a long time, Rob, before we see anything that really matches it or challenges it.
And I've asked this to a couple of people, and nobody seems to buy my conspiracy theory, but I'll run it by you. Was there a reason why they were back-to-back-to-back? Was there a factor, a thread in there at all, or was that just pure coincidence?
I think that there's a chance, at least, because Edmonton and Montreal had talked on deals involving Subban and potentially Hall, certainly one of or some of the Edmonton forwards, that those ones were connected. I don't see the thread so much with the Lightning situation. In fact, it was a little earlier in the day when Stamkos had phoned Don Meehan and instructed him essentially to get a deal done with the Lightning. And then obviously once they worked their way through that, that one came to light. So I think the Stamkos situation isn't tied, but you know, it wouldn't entirely surprise me. I don't have specific knowledge that the other ones you know, probably had something to do with each other.
I don't want to necessarily bog down on all of them, because by now we're all kind of getting a little exhausted of breaking them each down. But the two that fascinate me the most, one, Stamkos going back. This has got to be, doesn't it? And you've reported on it. I know you wrote on it, Sportsnet.ca, about Steven Stamkos. But this was really about dipping your big toe into free agency. Thanks to the courting period, he could do that. And realizing that nobody's going to let you win quicker than Tampa Bay, right?
There's an element of that. You know, part of me wonders if deep down he was probably never going to leave Tampa, and if, you know, maybe waiting it out, you know, obviously gave him a bit more leverage, certainly made Steve Yzerman uncomfortable and had him believing even until yesterday that perhaps the Lightning were out for Steven Stamkos, but in an effort to get a bit more money out of them. I mean, as part of the negotiation, because the contract he ended up signing is essentially, I mean, I don't know that they had worked through, you know, all the specific signing bonuses, but in terms of total dollars, was a similar, if not the exact same offer that's been on the table for months. So, you know, part of it, I think, was exhausting his options, but also, you know, trying to see, you know, what he could create for himself in terms of leverage. And, you know, ultimately, after going through the entire process, as he said, he acknowledged if he had a crystal ball and knew he was just going to sign in Tampa, he probably would have done this earlier. But you know, right. I think he did, you know, there was some curiosity there in seeing what else, you know, might be out there for him.
With Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, our NHL insider, joining us down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Chris, the most dramatic trade, as it turns out, is the Nashville and Montreal trade. And I know there's a lot of angst and a lot of behind the scenes that goes into this, but part of it that I think is almost underplayed a little bit is kind of the financial cap issues that are at play here with signing bonuses, cap recapture if Weber retires. This is a very complicated deal.
Yeah, I mean, Nashville assumes more of the risk essentially in the contracts, but you know, arguably is getting the better player, certainly the younger player, and been more impactful in recent years. But, you know, if Shea Weber retires before the end of his contract, which runs another 10 seasons, they're on the hook for $24 million in cap for capture penalties. So the way that would work is if he retired with 4 years left, it would be $6 million per year for each of those 4 years. And theoretically, at least as it's written in the CBA, if he retired with 1 year left, it would be all $24 million. And, you know, it's tough to say at this point if the league would enforce that to the letter of the law if it came about. But, you know, for Nashville, there's some risk there. But I'm sure David Poile and his staff, as they're doing, they're looking at this and having the meetings they had over the last couple of days before pulling the trigger. In all likelihood, they won't be around when you know, that sort of thing comes into play. And you know, the opportunity to get P.K. Subban, which is too good for them to pass up.
You spend a lot of time running in these circles, and I know that there's so much being made right now about, you know, what we should read into this. You know, the Mark Bergevin and the PK Subban, he was bad in the room, all of that. How much of that is just kind of for show and you know, out there, or how much of this is reality? Because, as I said before, this is a very dramatic play right now.
Yeah, I think that aspect is impossible to ignore, to be honest. And, okay, you know, because this looks like more than a hockey trade to me. It feels like more than one. And then, you know, part of the issue we have is that I'm sure everyone's heard whispers. There's been lots of kind of, you know, around the surface suggestions about what this may be. But, you know, Mark Bergevin was unwilling yesterday when he met reporters at the team's practice facility to kind of get into that aspect. And then, you know, but it's pretty clear that you know, if some of the issues weren't there, I don't think they make this deal. I mean, this was their one opportunity with his no trade clause due to kick in tomorrow to move him if they had any doubts. And, you know, they did have doubts. They made him the highest paid defenseman in the league. And you know, I just feel that they weren't comfortable with him as part of the team. And I just don't know the full scope of it. I mean, it's almost like a workplace issue in some ways. You know, if he wasn't getting along with his boss or maybe some of his colleagues, you can understand on some level why it would prompt him to do this, but it's elicited a very emotional reaction in Montreal, where Subban was beloved, I think, just as much for the character and person he was off the ice as what he did on the ice. And, you know, that's, I think, why people are sort of, it feels like the explanation is lacking a little bit. Because I don't think that it's been totally spelled out for the fan base and certainly for the media like us.
Chris, let's move on from what happened yesterday and take a look towards tomorrow and what might happen. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about what seems to me like a lot of buyouts this year. We saw a handful today of players waived and a couple more this afternoon. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 16 buyouts, I think, is what I've counted. Is that a lot, or am I just reading something into it?
No, that's a heavy number. And, you know, I think it's reflective of yet another year where the cap didn't go up by a significant margin. So with each passing year, that's the case. There's more and more teams in trouble. But also, you know, in the case of, say, Columbus with Fedor Tuten, he was one of the players that had a no-movement clause in his contract. And buying him out now gave them immediate cap relief, but also gave them one less player. They'll be, you know, mandatory to protect next year in the expansion draft. So I think that some of that is what you've seen. And obviously, with such a glut of them coming yesterday and today, with today being the final day for the first buyout window, I think that it's reflective of some teams were looking to make deals for these players and just weren't able to complete a transaction and had to take the jump. I mean, even Matt Carl with the Lightning, I know that's a player that they've made many attempts, I believe, even going back to the trade deadline to deal, just because, you know, he found himself out of their lineup quite a few nights this year with their highest paid defenseman and with the cap issues that they have. You know, they had to buy him out, and, you know, it's dead money on the cap, but it does give teams a bit more breathing room now with free agency opening and then trying to sign their own RFAs.
Of the group of the, you know, the players we're talking about, you know, names like Seidenberg, Vanek, obviously Carl, Korpikoski, do you see any of them being, you know, not game changers per se, but is there going to be interest for them in day one of free agency tomorrow? Is anybody more exciting than somebody else in that group?
Well, I have a sense that Thomas Vanek, believe it or not, is getting a fair bit of interest, actually. And then, you know, his next contract will be much less than the ones he's played on previously. And,
sure.
You know, as we all know, that tends to shape how we feel about a player. If you get him, you know, in on a very team-friendly deal and he can score 15 or 20 goals, it's a totally different scenario than when he's making 5 or 6 or 7 million and he only scores 20 goals. You know, just the subtle nuance in the way that performance is interpreted by everyone. So he sounds, and I've been checking around on him, it sounds like a pretty heavy interest during the interview period in him. And I'm curious about Dez Seidenberg because, you know, it's a bit of a surprise. I think that Boston bought him out. Certainly Seidenberg himself didn't believe that was going to happen, his agent J.P. Barrie. And, you know, he's got some mileage on there, but, you know, I think at this stage in his career, he can still help a team in the right situation. And, you know, he might not go tomorrow just because it was a bit of a surprise. And I think that there's going to be a factor of just getting used to the idea he's now, you know, going to move his wife and kids and have to pick up and move on. But I do think he'll attract a fair amount of interest at the right dollar price.
With Chris Johnston from Sportsnet is ahead of free agency tomorrow, 10 o'clock Calgary time. With Stamkos out of the mix now, who are the big names? How does that impact? What are the ripples for tomorrow?
Well, the best impact for the kind of next tier of guys, I think, is that with Steven getting off the market a bit early, it's given the other teams that were going to be in on his bidding a chance to refocus their efforts. And it certainly seemed like last night and then throughout the day today that you know, a lot of these guys are getting circled back on by teams. And, you know, I think Milan Lucic will probably end up with the largest deal of the next wave of players, which includes a Louis Eriksson, you know, Andrew Ladd, Kyle Okpozo, guys like this, Franz Nielsen, potentially David Backes. It seems that Lucic has the most suitors. Even Tom Gilardi, the Dallas Stars owner, flew up to Vancouver yesterday to be part of their delegation. I met with him, obviously, he was in Edmonton earlier this week, and you know, from what I've been hearing, Rob, I think he's going to get a 7-year deal out of this. And you know, term was a big issue for him. It was, you know, one of the areas I think with the Kings, everything broke down. And you know, he's probably going to, if I was having to place a bet on it, I would say he gets the richest deal of the free agents tomorrow.
Okay, he will. Should he?
Probably not. You know, but you always overpay to a certain degree on July 1st. I mean, you know, that's kind of been an altruism throughout the years. But the one thing is we've seen less and less of it. I think we've teams as a whole in recent years, if you look back on the guys who got the biggest deals, have shown a little bit more restraint when it came to this day. But, you know, what's sort of interesting to me about this particular class is when you pick through it, there's five or six or seven pretty good name players among forwards in particular that have had good careers. And you know, with a good number of teams, you know, Detroit and Buffalo are very motivated buyers on the forward front. I think that Vancouver's in that same mix, and they've been told they're out on Milan Lucic. Obviously, Edmonton is the clubhouse favorite to sign Milan Lucic. I mean, there's a lot of money to be spent on these guys, and you know, a few pretty big names, I think, to you know, garner that interest. So tomorrow might be a bit of a back to the future type of day where we see just a bit more money and a bit more term thrown around than we're used to if you just base it on the last 3 or 4 July 1st.
And, you know, I guess maybe it's a function of age, but I'm beginning to worry more about term for teams than money. And when you say 7 years for Milan Lucic, I'd love to see him in Calgary. I think he'd be great. I think he'd be a great addition for the Flames. But, you know, right now, next year, the year after, but that's a big frame who's already slowed down a little bit. Hard to think that he's still going to be the kind of player worth that money in 4 or 5 years.
Well, and you're right to think that way. I mean, if you look at the buyouts over the years, they're not all 7-year deals, but it's a lot of cases where it's 5-year deals that suddenly look a little bit different when you get 3 years in. And term is probably the biggest, it's the biggest liability for teams, frankly. But to get the players for nothing, you know, other than giving up that term and the cap space allotted to the players, it's the only way to get it done. And, you know, that's what I say. I think it will be an eye-opener for some fans tomorrow when Lucic signs for that. But, you know, I've heard from a few people close to that situation that that's what's on the table here, 16-17 hours before the market opens.
Last one for you today, Chris. Anything on the local hockey heroes? I know that Troy Brower's name has come up with Calgary, which probably makes some sense. We talked about goalies earlier in the week. I'm just wondering if in your travels the Flames have been coming up as a possible suitor for anybody.
Well, they seem a bit quiet, and I think with good reason, just because of, you know, the cap space that they're going to have to contend with the restricted free agents they have to sign still. So I see them more as value shoppers at this point. And you're right, with Troy Brower being in Calgary right now, I think that's raised a few eyebrows. And I know he had other business to attend to, but you know, maybe he's a fit for them. Certainly goaltending at some point, not necessarily tomorrow. I mean, wait around and see what shakes out there. But, you know, I don't see the Flames being major players in the big bidding that goes on tomorrow. But I guess you never say never. But certainly I'm not coming across a lot of talk about them. I've been speaking to agents and texting with some players today that they're on the open market tomorrow.
Listen, I want to thank you, Chris. I know we're probably going to reach out and call you here sometime in the summer when stuff breaks, but you've been our NHL insider here for most of this year, and we really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun having you. I look forward to having you back in the fall when we kick it up again for the 16-17 season. But thanks, man. It's been a lot of fun having you part of the program.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. It's been my pleasure, and a lot of fun. I enjoy the good hockey talk with Ellie Favorov, so I appreciate it.
All right. Well, we're not letting you off the hook. There will be the odd call when some craziness like yesterday happens. But
well, I'm going to be in Europe for 2 weeks starting early July. So after that, we'll
Okay. Well, we'll leave you alone. We'll leave you alone. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care. Thank you.